This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I'm a fan of it!
We love America!
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Now watch this drive.
Read it!
Hey, damn it!
Shisha.
A little bit of Monica in my
life. People are gonna die.
Yeah, baby.
In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm peeking, Kevin.
I miss Tom Brady.
Said no one ever.
Tom Brady.
Of those women, who would you most want to see play Satan? Between Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and probably not Sally Field. That'd be a little out of her register.
Sally would be a sleigh. Actually, I feel like Lily Tomlin would be amazing.
That was my first thought.
Is that your thought?
Yep.
Okay, then who would play God?
Sally Field. Yeah. Maybe that's a little Pollyanna of me, but I think so.
Or maybe Rita Moreno.
I was literally about to say.
Right?
I keep like plagiarizing you like, my thought as well. Well, she would be like a little Mary Prankster god.
A little Mary Prankster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And she's almost as old as God.
Okay. Looks
she's
way
experienced.
Better. She's almost as old as God.
Isn't she like 95?
You're not wrong. No, I mean, you're not off.
How old is she?
She is Rita Moreno. Age is, it's a recent Google search for me. She's 91 years old.
Damn.
She's 91, which is crazy.
That's wild.
What do you think it is? Ozempic?
Probably Ozempic. Probably.
Well, she got an early stash
Adderall.
In the 60s.
Yeah, she's been taking Ozempic
since
decades.
West Side Story. She's been on it.
Yeah, Ozempic also prolongs your life.
Yeah, she's her one and only spouse passed away 13 years ago.
Good Lord.
That's a long time to walk this
earth.
And
he was an old man.
Yeah. I mean, we could transition to that. How long do you want to outlive your spouse?
hands, same second, die together.
One bullet, both heads.
Lights out. I think we'll just crash our car.
Into what, though?
Great question. Hoover Dam.
Oh, beautiful. The beautiful Hoover Dam.
An engineering marvel.
One less sight to see. Or whatever that dam is that Harrison Ford flops off of in Fugitive. And he does flop. A movie I've seen twice recently for some reason.
Fugitive?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever even heard of that.
Fugitive. It's this movie from the mid-90s. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
Excuse me. I'm Kevin T. Horror.
Ooh, I like that.
And Dexter's growling. And who are you?
And I'm Scaroline Squealy.
Scaroline, I'm down with. Squealy's like,
you want to punch it up?
You feeling out a profile or something? Hey, and it's Dexter, parentheses, from the TV show.
I think Hexter.
Oh, Hexter's good, too. You don't like parentheses from the TV show? A little explainer?
That could work, too. I believe he's murdered.
I do want, I do
blood on those paws.
Think about if he got a squirrel and if he ended the squirrel's life in front of me, if it would forever change our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, you can put a little bow tie on him
and be like,
you can give
he's
him my haircut.
Little guy.
He's a little elf.
He's so fun.
He's my little brother. And then, yeah, you forget they're an animal.
And then you see him take a rat's life with his jaws.
Yeah.
And that might shift things around. We're talking.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say it was Scampi. I can't ever forget the violence just under the surface.
Wait, what did she do? Besides the violence perpetrated against you.
Right. Well, that's a big one.
Uh-huh.
And Nathan. And then one time a hummingbird flew into our house on accident. And like a lightning bolt, she had that thing pinned to the ground.
My Postmates is here.
She's like, I ordered an ostrich.
15% tip. living.
That was amazing. But yeah. They're little violent animals. Can't forget that.
Well, speaking of little violent animals, it's good Christian fun. And we're here to announce. Were you yawning or coughing?
No, I was like catching my breath. Sometimes I get out of breath for some reason when I'm talking. I get nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, I think I have that too sometimes. That's
not
crazy.
You're like always
well, not here.
In the flow.
No, but on like, you know.
Oh.
In other situations,
the
I'll
Peloton.
Say. Yeah, the Peloton. Let's just say I'm out of breath when I do cardio exercise, if you know what I'm saying. The Peloton. Hey! You think that gets me out of breath?
You forget to breathe.
Gracious. Like David Carradine. May he rest in peace. Who died via autoerotic asphyxiation. And that is real.
Is that on his Wikipedia?
Yeah. And if it's not, I'm going to add it.
It should be.
No, it definitely is.
You have to check that.
Yeah. No, it 100% is. I'm not David Carradine, who most people would know from the TV show Kung Fu or the titular Bill in the movie Kill Bill. Yes, he was in Bangkok. He was found dead in a hotel.
Oh my God.
The police suggested the death might have been from accidental suffocation due to autoerotic asphyxiation. Since there was no suicide note,
that term.
And he was found with a rope tied to his neck and his genitals. Okay, now is this disputed? Is this disputed? Huh.
Kevin's going full wiki right now.
Yeah, sorry.
Checking footnotes.
I'm getting lost in I'm thinking about feet tonight, obviously.
Right. And you want to make sure that the spelling's right on your Wikipedia page sometimes. You got to check how it's going to go down.
I have no Wikipedia page. I'm not a person enough of note to have a Wikipedia
page. Didn't you definitely have one at some point?
Mm-mm. I'm probably on other people's Wikipedia page. Do you think I'm on Ellen's Wikipedia page?
Ooh, let's find out.
I bet not. I bet my name is not on.
Could this
page.
Be a second service concept?
Is what?
I was guessing about things that might be on Wikipedia.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yep. I'm on her Wikipedia. That's funny.
Kevin, that's huge.
Oh, big
that's like
deal.
Being on someone's obituary, survived by Kevin T. Porter's tweets and Washington Post article.
Now, that would be the honor is if I serve, if I'm in the obit for
yeah.
her.
You're going to have to wait it out.
I recently read an obituary written by a man, he wrote his own obituary. This character actor named James Rebhorn, mm-hmm. who's one of those that guys that you recognize, like, oh, that guy. And it was very touching and very sweet to his like family and friends. Would you want to write your own obituary? Because after reading it, it made me want to do it.
Yeah, I didn't even think you could do that.
That was against the rules?
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, poor form, you know.
Like, let other people give you the compliments.
Right.
But
this is a Seinfeld episode.
You let others write the obit.
Don't write your own. Don't pick and choose what's going to go.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm on draft
That's
4.
That's the point of dying. You're gone. We get to say whatever we want about you. Sorry.
We get to speak our piece. That is a...
That's a sweet idea.
I think it's nice because he was so kind and generous to his family. And he was like, this is the meaning of my life is my wife and two daughters and my son-in-law, who was like my own son, especially in the last months of my life, because he died of cancer and the son-in-law helped him out so much. And it was very touching. People can look that up. Anyway, speaking
of, I'll get around to that the day after I die.
You procrastinate.
Yeah.
Like, Caroline, you have 12 days to live.
I need a solid deadline. Is it 12? Is it 13?
It could be 13. A baker's dozen.
All right, I'll take a 13 then.
Well, we're talking about death and we're talking about scary stuff because we got something. I don't have a sting for this or a drop. I have drops for so many things.
We could make one right now.
20 seconds in heaven.
Ooh.
Freak out.
Movie hell.
We're in movie hell. So listen, on GCF Second Service, we do a feature called Movie Heaven. We watch a regular movie, a not bad movie.
A non-believer's movie.
A secular movie made in the secular world by the likes of David Zaslav and Carol Lombardini. Her real name. And we talk about from a Christian lens and perspective. We're in the month of October. As you're listening to this, it's October the 4th, and we got 4 weeks of this. The last of which, does it come out on Halloween? No, it'll be, the last of this will come out on October the 25th. So you'll have, you know, then it'll be November 1st afterward. I just read the calendar for the rest of the episode. And after that, guess what, Caroline? Thanksgiving's just around the corner.
Christmas doesn't fall on a Wednesday this year, but wouldn't it be cool if it did?
And Hanukkah. Let's see how that's syncing up with our schedule. So we're doing movie hell. We're doing scary, spooky movies of a faith sort and a faith material. Supernatural horror. All month long, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline was so into the idea.
I'm not scared.
She did respond when I suggested the idea with yes! exclamation point. But weirdly, you know how you can make your text wobble on iMessage? Like, only the exclamation point was wobbling for some reason, and the S a little bit. Like,
and there was a little P coming out of it too.
She made P come out of her iMessage, which I thought, man, iOS 17, they're really making some strides.
I wish I wasn't like this. You know, I love scary movies in theory.
Let's talk about that.
I sit my ass down. Oh. I'm like, okay, do your worst. And then I finish the movie and I'm like, that was pretty scary. Not that bad though. And
I liked it.
I liked it. Kyle Mooney from SNL, when he does Dr. Demon. Do you know that sketch?
I don't know Dr. Demon.
Dr. Demon? Scared. It's just this guy won't admit the entire night he's really scared. Anyway, that's me.
That's you.
And then cut to, you know, 3 a.m. I wake up for my middle of the night potty break, as we all do, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm so scared.
It comes later.
It comes then.
Okay.
When all my defenses are down and I'm about to be unconscious.
The like, devil's hour.
We're just laying here. Lights out, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in my house. This happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
I finished watching this 1976, like, not scary movie. And then last night, I wake up in the middle of the night. I gotta go number one so bad.
Uh-huh.
But I hear
be
my,
honest, was it number one?
It was number one.
Okay.
God,
thanks for
that
being
would
honest.
Be rough if I had a number two every single night. What if that was your schedule?
Well, you know, that might be your schedule one day. You
the
can't.
Middle of the night.
We can't plan for these things.
That's true. Meetings come for you. Anyway, Scampi's freaking out in the living room. Like, I hear her.
She's riding on her little tricycle while you're changing a plant.
She's like, get on the ladder. Go ahead. Might be fun.
Now you're safe up
gotta
there.
Lean over the balcony. Yeah, I got scared. I freaked out.
You spooked out. We're talking this week about the 1976 film, The Omen. And we're going to end today's episode by saying all pods people said, okay, I love you, Emma. Omen.
Omen.
We're okay. Saying Omen today.
Okay, thank you.
This
Can
is,
I give you one more tag to that story?
Please.
Do you remember Dana? No, Stephanie K. came on. This was a few weeks ago.
Stephanie Ritter.
Yes. And she told a little funny ghost story.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. And I was in the room. L-O-L. How fun. That night, I had
this is awesome.
Full nightmare about a little boy ghost scampering around our house, covering our walls with writing, waiting in the corner. I get up to chase him. He's running away from me. Then he's just outside the window. This is my dream.
And it's Evan Hansen from Dear Evan Hansen.
The youngest man I've ever seen. Anyway, I was so scared. I had to wake up Nate.
Really?
Yeah.
And what, if I can ask, what happens when you wake Nate up? Is it just like, I want someone to be up with me? Or are you like...
Yeah. Okay. He's so nice. I mean, he'll just like hold my hand and he'll ask, like, did you have a bad dream? I'm like, yeah. And then,
was it the little boy?
I'm like, yeah, little boy ghost. And then he'll like hold my hand. And then honestly, once he's up, I feel a little less like I'm in the, you know, liminal space of scary things. Mm-hmm. And like if someone else is alive and awake, I'm like, okay, this is dumb.
Yeah, because you exit from your cuckoo narrative. Yeah, you're trapped inside your own head.
I don't like being called cuckoo, but okay. No,
well,
I'm kidding.
I'm saying you.
I'm kidding.
A little boy writing stuff on your
hysteric state.
Your small woman brain is jolted back to reality by a masculine, meaty, muscular brain.
Right. Yeah. Ooh.
I definitely don't have one
of
those.
Do you ever get scared in here? Because you live alone, and I feel like that would be really scary.
That's a good question, and not one I think about a lot, because I'm trying to think of the last time. I will say, I got freaked out last night. But it was from a TikTok, so that doesn't really count.
Oh, well, tell me this story.
I was sitting where I'm sitting now, which I'm unreasonably comfortable in a way that freaks me out. And
Kevin is upset that his chair is so comfy.
Well, because we don't have a guest tonight, so the guest usually sits over here. But the futon, it sounds like I'm in the dorm room, but the futon I usually have, I got rid of per the request of Caroline. She made me do it. Just kidding. I really wanted to do it for like 5 years.
Yeah. And I think that was the community was speaking through me.
I fulfilled a community need.
It was all about mutuality. Futon. Yeah.
The community butt situation was very out of hand for the last however many years. So I put the chair that used to be in the other room in here. And now when we record, I'm in this chair. And I'm wondering if I'm too relaxed, I'm going to do a worse job. If I'm going to lack focus and not pay attention to what you're saying. Also, because my laptop's right here, instead of like leaning forward and futzing with it, I can just be like,
You can go full tabs out.
Yeah. Oh, and I got like 12.
You got your Tootsies up and your socks. Okay. Like that scared you.
Yeah. It's like bedlam.
You're like, you're thinking like, oh, the artist needs to be tortured in order to like create great art.
As a difficult genius, my genius can't thrive unless there's difficulty facing me to react difficultly to. So I was sitting here last night scrolling through my FYP, and there was something called, listen to this AD audio. It came up so quick that I couldn't even process what it was.
What's AD audio?
So it was 8D, like the number 8, the letter D. And it was like that. And there was a guy saying, come in. And I was sitting here, and where it was in the soundscape of my headphones.
And you had headphones
on? It was
on?
Behind me to the right. So I was like,
oh my God.
What? And there was a screen door that opened. I was like, what the fuck? And it truly fooled me.
Ugh.
And I scrolled back to it because I went to another one. And then I scrolled back to it. I was like, this is too freaky. I cannot listen to this.
That is
again.
So scary.
Because it sounded just like it.
Just like someone was coming up mm-hmm. your door.
Ugh. I'm trying to think of other... I mean, I don't get scared. I mean...
You don't get intruder fear.
You know what it is? I think because I'm friends in a good way with the person that shares the wall with me. Mm. That if I was like, oh, shit. I could be like, help, and it would be fine. And she wouldn't be mad at me.
Her ass murdered too.
Yeah, she could get killed too. No, we don't know if it's killing or if it's just like little haunting and spookings.
Yeah.
That they want from me.
That's worse.
The hauntings and spookings.
Yeah.
Because death is
like,
the
please
end.
Please just kill me.
Yeah, just like, let's get it over with. Can we please move on? But no, I don't get scared as much. Although I'm trying
well,
to remember.
Good. You shouldn't.
I mean, yeah, I
It doesn't
know.
Do anything, you know? It doesn't like help you be safer.
Maybe it'll make me more of a genius, though, because it'll be a,
this
some
is
more
your struggle. Yeah,
adversity.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe tap into
that
more. Now that your chair is too comfortable.
If my chair's too comfortable, I have to get scared at the middle of the night when I go pee. That's just kind of the order of the universe and the balance of things.
If you want to know, yeah, why I'm so good on this show, that's why.
I'm trying to think of, because we've covered some spooky little things here and there mm-hmm. before. Certainly a witch's invitation. Satan, eat my ass.
Right.
Paying respects to Carmen.
Huge midnight session after that one.
Midnight Mass. Did Midnight Mass freak you out at all?
Not really.
Okay. Because it was so, it was more of a drama.
Yeah.
Than it was like an actual.
Right.
And then what else? Thief in the Night. Hell House, we did first year of the show. And of course, Devil's Advocate.
Wow. And we haven't watched any other like horror movies.
I don't think so.
Or the show. Wow.
The Bless the Child. We watched that.
Yeah.
I knew you wouldn't remember that. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that's one where.
Yeah, if you don't remember it.
The guy. I remember our guest on it, Brenda. The Apple. That just kind of felt like a horror movie.
Yeah,
the,
that was awesome.
The trippy musical from the 70s with their friend Mike. But that's pretty much it. I think we've stayed away from it because.
Because of Dexter?
Yeah.
Right?
Because I didn't
kind of
want to scare
link.
Him. Yeah, he's kind of a weak link of this podcast. He's staring at me right now like, say that to my face. weak link?
I'll invade your house.
What if he starts messing with me?
He starts unlocking the door at night.
That's a game changer, though. It's like, he is so sound squirrel sensitive. That's
oh,
like,
yeah.
I got a built-in alarm system. You know?
But also, doesn't that freak you out, too? Because it's like, oh, what's he scared about? Even if it's like a squirrel, 99% of the time.
Sometimes that freaks me out, but that's a rare occasion.
Sometimes cats will just stare hardcore mm-hmm. into like a blank corner of the room,
mm-hmm.
like they're observing something.
That would freak me out.
It's scary. Yeah.
Unless it's Garfield
like,
thinking about lasagna.
She's in a lasagna daydream.
Oh, there is You know what Super Smash Brothers is, that video game where you punch him?
I'm
beat
familiar.
Him up?
Because
you play in the baby bracket.
Yeah, I think I won the baby bracket.
Did you?
Probably not. That doesn't
you
sound
might have,
like
actually.
Me.
No, you might have. There's a clone of it where it's like Nickelodeon All Stars Fight 'em or something.
Okay.
And it's all the Nickelodeon characters. So you can play as like SpongeBob or whatever. It's kind of like a clone, even though it's like a different game. But in this video game, you can play as Garfield. They just added him to the roster.
Kevin.
I'm like, am I going to get this video game?
Pardon me with a good time. Whoa, is that the first time Garfield has been playable in any video game?
No. Oh, I had a computer Garfield video game back in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Where he's like caught in a computer and you had to get him out. I'm sure there's been plenty of Garfield. That's the second
That's
service.
That's what you're doing instead of school.
I wrote someone a note today on my Garfield letterhead stationery. I was happy about that.
Aww.
But before, we're talking about The Omen, the 1976 film, a sort of canonical, this is one of the scary movies, one of the greats, one of the franchise starters, blah, blah, blah. We're going to get to that. But we're talking about, first, our relationship with spooky, scary stuff. Mm-hmm. Was there one that you ever left the theater? Like, you were like, I cannot take this. I have to go. This is so disturbing to me.
Oh, gosh.
Or maybe it wasn't horror. Maybe it's like some movie you weren't expecting to have horror in it.
Yeah. It would be, honestly, it would be phenomenal if I was even at a movie theater to go see a horror movie. But I don't remember this, but I was talking to my mom the other night, and she was like, that was so wrong of me to take you to see The Ring. And I was like, you took me to see The Ring? She was like, yeah. And she's like, we had to leave because I think after the part where they find the girl in the closet or whatever and her like horrifying face. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a PG-13.
Well, it's stuck in there.
Really?
To this day.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was probably one. But honestly, yeah, like I don't go to horror movies, so I can't say there's many I walk out of.
You've never consensually, voluntarily gone to a horror movie in a movie theater? Ever?
I think I have more recently.
Mm-hmm. Checking the old letterbox.
Yep. Let's check the AMC.
I will say, I think I shared this before. What? To tie it back to the show too. There was a movie about Joan of Arc by Luc Besson, I want to say, called The Messenger, starring Mila Jovovich. And there was one shot in it where she was having a nightmare and Jesus Christ holds her face and it's nice at first, but then it's a nightmare and like blood starts running down his face and he says something along the lines of like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And the music gets crazy. Ah. I remember that freaked me the F out when I was a little kid.
You were little when that's...
Well, I wasn't like 8. I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah, that's really scary. Yes.
That's so funny. You said that about your mom inventing, or your mom saying that she regretted taking you to see the
room. Yeah, and I had forgotten she had done that. I'm like, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Did I tell you about that conversation I had with my mom recently about movies she took me to see?
Like what?
Well, because I was saying about it because I was going through Pacino stuff, and I have this very vivid memory of the summer of 2002.
Uh-huh.
My mom picked me up from church. We went to go see Insomnia in theaters, this movie about this. Murder. It's a cop drama, but it's rated R.
Okay.
And I remember us having a nice time. But then that summer, she also took me to see Punch Drunk Love, which has an extended phone sex scene in it. And she was like, I should not have taken you to see that. Afterwards, I remember she was like, I don't know if I can forgive myself for letting you. She said that to me at the time. I was like, sorry. I was like, I liked it. And then I was talking to her on the phone the other night, like a week or two ago. I said, do you remember taking me to see Insomnia? That like the cop drama, it's daylight all the time, Al Pacino. She's like, yeah, I do remember that. Cause it's 21 years ago at this point. I thought she might not. Then she said, there were some movies I should not have taken you to see. Like American Beauty. I should not have taken you to see that. And I said, you didn't take me to see American Beauty. She's like, I think I did. I was like, no. You absolutely did not. She's like, well, Magnolia, I regret taking you to see. I was like, no, you didn't take me to Magnolia. You went to Magnolia with one of your friends and walked out. She was inventing the, like, you know, and she doesn't have memory issues more than the run-of-the-mill person. Like, she doesn't have, like, age memory issues.
Right.
But these events were getting conflated in her head that she was like, I regret doing things that never happen.
Oh.
Is that sad?
That is sad.
I think it was just the Punch Drunk Love was so powerful for
and
her.
And everything goes under that tent.
But she's
now.
Like, I took
things
him to
Kevin
see
shouldn't
everything.
Know about.
Yes. Little did she know.
She probably also talked to you about those movies at some
she
point.
She did.
Too,
she absolutely
probably
did.
Was like, oh, mm-hmm. That's because he was with me and we went together, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be things 20 years from now. I'll be like, no, Caroline, we did this. And you'll be like, nope. Absolutely not.
No, I probably won't argue with you about it. I'm like, oh, sounds right, Mr. Data. Mr. Jada Pinkett. No, I said Mr. Data.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, do I look like G.I. Jane? Can't wait to see it. I'm trying to think of other, like, yeah, I saw The Ring by myself at 4 in the morning when I was like 12.
What?
I had the lights on a little bit.
You went to sleep after that?
With the lights on?
Oof.
I'm trying to think. The Mothman Prophecies. I saw that. This Richard Gere movie from 2002.
Wow.
I wonder if anyone remembers that, or maybe 2001. But it's not something I've sought out a lot, unless it's like Horror Plus or Elevated Horror. Like, you know, the A24 stuff.
I can rock with a little bit more.
Mulholland Drive. That's one of the scariest movies I've seen.
I was looking at my AMC mm-hmm. of like horror movies I saw recently. And the only one I had was Asteroid City.
Because it would be a nightmare to be trapped in a world where everything's symmetrical and everyone talks to each other in this flat affect.
Everyone's so pithy. Everyone's,
everyone's so fussy. The greatest horror of all.
No, I don't think so. I didn't really, I think I need to like go to therapy to deal with this, because it's like also childhood stuff, you know, like coming up with this middle of the night scary thing.
Right.
Usually it's not a problem because I don't watch scary movies, but I'm going to be a big girl this month and I'm going to watch three.
Well, that's the thing. It's like we picked this one. There's a few more to go and we do have options, but it felt like obviously one of the totemic, and I've never seen it, but one of the big sort of this is the religious horror movie is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Which has the new one coming out starring Ann Dowd and no one else
the
that
Pope's
I can remember.
Exorcist, right?
There's the Pope's Exorcist
oh,
with
that's
Russell Crowe. Yeah.
Okay.
There's Pope's Exorcist came out last year, and then there's this new Exorcist. Pope's Exorcist is its own thing.
Oh, that's it's just, not part of the franchise.
No.
Okay.
Which it's like, oh, okay.
They got me though.
It's just Russell Crowe on a Vespa scooting around exercising demons.
Hey, that sounds pretty scary.
What if the Pope had an exorcist? You've seen the two popes. You've seen the exorcist. What if we combine them? But the exorcist, do you feel like it would be bad? I do not want to subject you to anything.
Oh, very nice.
That you don't want to do.
Do you feel like it's at the Omen level of like,
I don't know because I haven't seen
oh,
it.
Oh, you haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
I was talking to Nate about this because I was running by the options that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Nathan was like, The Exorcist, I don't think I could ever watch that again. There are images I can't get out of my mind from that movie. I was like, damn. Because I thought it was kind of like a campy, it's been like parodied a lot.
Right. You probably know some of it from cultural osmosis.
Yeah.
Vomit or the spider walk. Or
yeah, and it came
stuff.
Out from the 70s, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it I'm predated like, this movie.
I feel like I could handle that.
70s stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about like, well, if it was 50 years ago, it can't hurt me.
Yeah, or it wasn't like as sophisticated with how much they're going to like mess with my head way they are now.
That's
you know?
A fair point where it's like even watching something from the 80s or 90s might have a more.
Yeah.
Like you probably wouldn't be able to watch The Fly. Or maybe you would like The Fly. I don't know. The Fly is nasty.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen The Fly.
The Cronenberg movie?
Yeah, I think so.
With Goldblum?
Yeah.
He starts looking like
disgusting.
Like a fly. So, okay.
I can handle that.
But Exorcist, we're right on the razor's edge.
We'll find out.
What do you think is going to be the extenuating factors? Should we put it to our listeners to vote?
I really don't know. I think what would help that I'll do for The Exorcist, or that has helped with like other scary movies that I have seen,
is muting it and turning on
muting
other
it,
music.
Not watching it and walking away.
Muting it and turning off the TV while I watch it.
It's too like read the entire plot.
Oh.
And like know what are the scariest beats of this movie before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that really deadens the scariness for me.
Okay. Yeah. This is
I did with Midsommar.
Yeah. This is the premise of a whole podcast called Too Scary Didn't Watch, I think is the name of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently it's pretty funny, or I've heard from friends where they read a Wikipedia summary of the whole movie before. Instead of or before watching it.
Okay.
I forget the premise, but people can check that out.
Sounds like my kind of people.
If I got any of those facts right. Which there's no way for me to Google that. Too Scary Didn't Watch. Okay. Because, yeah, well, we can
let's
go.
Let's feel it out.
Well, yeah.
And I guess if I have the power to veto at any given point during this month.
Yeah.
And say, Kevin.
You get one veto.
What? No. Can't make up these rules.
You get one. No, it's like it's sort of fishbowl rules where you get one skip, you know, when it's your turn.
Okay.
But you have to do the rest there.
I'm gonna use my veto right now on your rule.
Too Scary Didn't Watch is the name of the podcast. Emily Gonzalez, Henley Cox, and Sammy Smart. New episodes every Wednesday.
Wednesday. Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, you said you didn't want to force me to watch anything that was gonna mess up my sleep.
Yeah, but you get one veto, so use it wisely. Because if you say no to one, I could give you another.
No. No, but we will like work together to make the selection.
Yes.
So I'll give my A-OK on it and then go from there.
So So something that would be even...
And then as a backup, we can watch a Garfield episode if the movie didn't work out.
Oh, I think there's a... Oh,
did I find a good compromise?
There's a Garfield Halloween... Garfield's Halloween adventure.
I thought there might be.
Okay. Well, let's just do that instead. Hell yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Now I'm excited for this month.
And you want me to veto.
I can't wait for this Halloween to be over. Gracious, yeah. I sent you nominees like, you know, The Omen, which we watched for today, The Exorcist, The Conjuring. Do you think The Conjuring's just like all the way out because it's so recent?
I saw this preview and I was like, I think that's a hard no.
St. Maud, did that feel all the way out?
St. Maud looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
End of Days with Arnold.
That's a yes.
Could be. Frailty with Bill Paxton, a movie I saw when I was very young.
That I like too. I really like scary movies that are more like psychological suspense too, mm-hmm. you know, than like there's a monster.
So you hate that Charlize Theron movie?
Yeah. But that's just because I hate ugly. Yeah, I'm down for those other ones. I thought those were good suggestions. I guess the Conjuring is out and The Exorcist is like pushing it.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe Conjuring's your one veto. We'll discuss later.
Why did you pick these ones?
Because these are spiritual horror movies.
But there have to be so many more than just these ones.
Yeah, but these are the ones that are like the biggies. I mean, pretty much ever, and we can talk about like the hallmarks of the genre, but like these are the ones that are widely, not End of Days with Arnold, but yeah, pretty much the rest of them.
St. Maud?
Are widely regarded. St. Maud, I don't know what the consensus is, but I was just so interested in that.
Okay.
And I heard some good things from friends.
Yeah, but let's check that one out.
Yeah, we'll check it out. But for now, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic.
You did have a stinger.
Yeah, just for that. Oh. Just for diving in, though.
Okay.
The Omen, the 1976 classic movie by Richard Donner. About a troubled young man, Damien Thorne, a young child replaced at birth by his father, unbeknownst to his wife, after their biological child dies shortly after birth, and then mysterious events happen. Is he the Antichrist, or is he not? That is the question. Well, not really a question. It is so interesting to read about the development of this movie. Did you get to read about it at all?
No, lay it on me.
So, pretty much, you know, original idea, original script, but it was sort of based on what's the book? The late great Planet Earth, this Hal Lindsey book that is a... this is a Catholic-flavored movie, and most horror movies are, I would say, for the most part. Like, there's not usually, oh, that movie is Baptist or Lutheran vibes. It's usually Catholic in nature. Mm-hmm. There's a priest that shows, or at least Episcopal. Like, it's usually a man in a collar, you know, rather than a youth pastor's in trouble. There was, in looking around for stuff for that we could possibly do, there is a Christian horror movie called The Lock-In. I'm sure you haven't heard of it. I haven't heard of it until yesterday.
Okay.
And it's a youth group gets, you know, there's a lock-in at the church. But two of the boys bring porn magazines, and then a demon busts out of one of the porn magazines.
Out of the porn rags?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It terrorizes them in a sort of Blair Witch Project.
Well, they are portals.
Yeah, so it's demon of jacking off.
Funny.
So The Late Great Planet Earth, it's this whole sort of nonfiction Christian book put out by Zondervan in the 70s about, you know, dispensationalist eschatology, which is like so much of what all this supernatural horror stuff is, which is like there was God and there's Jesus, but then what's the counter to that? There's Satan, there's the Antichrist, and what's going to bring about end times, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So stuff that has to do with Left Behind, in, you know, anything like that, just like in millennium approaches, sort of into the world stuff. Although it was interesting, even thumbing through it today, like a lot of the book was written from a, hey, if we don't do stuff about the environment in the next 10 years, it's going to be a huge problem for us. Oh. And mixed in with that, there's also, hey, maybe the Antichrist was born and he's a little kid walking around. We don't know yet, but it's a lot of stuff that, there's some biblical antecedent in merit to some of the verses, but it is so much of like what end times eschatology is, which is Bible fanfic and people being, you know, doing the theological equivalent of Reddit and being like, what if this happened?
Yeah.
I think the Antichrist might be like this. That's
right.
All that this stuff is.
Or taking kind of like the poetic stories of the Bible and taking them literally.
Yeah, like Revelation is a deadline, straight line prophecy mm-hmm. into what is going to happen, rather than like taking it at face value for like the literary genre that it is, which is, yes, poetry, or some guy tripping dicks on an island or whatever he was
right.
doing.
Ate the wrong leaf.
John the Baptist. So this evangelical Christian guy, Robert Munger, he reads the book. He goes to a film producer named Harvey Bernard. About it. He's like, what if? And there's this little kid. And then based on that, they sort of run with it. This guy named David Seltzer, who's not religious. He was, you know, culturally Jewish and was raised Jewish, but has no buy-in or stake into it at all. Nor does Richard Donner, who people might most remember for directing Superman, the original Superman and the Lethal Weapon movies as well. Which is like, those are some pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Hey, what'd you direct? The Omen, the Lethal Weapon movies, and Superman 1. That's a pretty good run.
That's
for Mr. Donner. But they don't care. Like, this is just, at this point, The Exorcist has come out a few years prior. And so it's like, okay, this, and it was a huge, Exorcist is a huge critical commercial success. Hundreds of millions of dollars made. So everyone's like, oh, okay, is this a thing? Is supernatural horror a thing? Obviously, horror existed before then in other ways, but in this mainstream version where it's literally, what if Atticus Finch's kid was the spawn of Satan?
Yeah.
Gregory Peck.
It seems essential that it's like part of a family,
mm-hmm.
a nuclear family, and not just like some story another guy has to go investigate or like something weird that happened at the farm.
I can tell.
You know how other horror movies
I can
are?
Tell you are an expert in the field.
Fan. There's three kinds of scary movies.
There's
family.
Friends.
One guy looking for what happened out there. And then what's going on at the farm.
Sort of the Shaun the Sheep genre.
Signs.
Genre
you
sheep.
Know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Signs is farm. Listeners, if you got more examples of farm whore.
Farm is a huge spot.
Well, the witch. The witch is farm
whore. The witch.
Whore.
Anything
you're not
with
wrong,
the corn
actually.
Maze. Uh-huh. They're constantly Children out of the in those corn fields.
It's farm to table whore.
Yeah, but this is set in a domestic setting. It's kind of like a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Or it starts as a drama until it slides into supernatural horror.
Oh, and here's what I like about it too, is that it feels like the best examples of the genre are, whether it's like horror, sci-fi, or anything that is spectacular events that don't happen in our real material world. It's metaphorical, allegorical for a larger thing. What it felt like to me watching the movie was, this is about people being scared to have kids. Like, this gets at a fear of, like, what if my kid sucks?
Yeah, what is if what my it kid felt is like psycho?
What if I raise him poorly? What if there's something wrong with him that I'm not equipped
innately
to handle?
Yeah.
What if, you know, or, you know, I don't know if it tapped into a fear of, like, what if I do an old swappy switcheroo at the ye olde hospital?
Yeah, nothing bad's going to happen.
This is fine, right?
By changeling it.
Gregory Peck. I don't know if I've seen that many Gregory Peck movies outside of
Roman Holiday.
I've never seen Roman Holiday.
Kevin T. Porter.
I've seen
wow.
Not One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Tom
to Kill a Mockingbird.
Looking down on you with shame right now. And Greta Gerwig. Barbara can't believe that. I'm looking at Kevin's movie posters around.
Yeah, I've only seen To Kill a Mockingbird and Cape Fear, but I mostly know him from
The Guns of Navarone.
He was in The Guns of Navarone. I know him from Stephen Colbert's impression of him. They kind of look like each other.
Yeah,
sometimes.
They do. Yeah.
It feels like he would age into a Gregory Peck looking guy.
So good.
In this movie?
Yeah. I was like, sir?
I'm trying to think of what the equivalent movie star would be now in terms of like playing with that and putting them in it, because this feels like a prestige play to have him in. And they were talking about in the development, they're like, we would like a Gregory Peck type. Obviously we're not going to get him.
Yeah.
That feels a little beyond the grasp for, you know, something like a lurid genre movie like this.
Well, I was thinking, I wonder if they only got Gregory because he was at like a low point in his career. Cause a lot of those golden age movie stars ended up doing, like, Joan Crawford was in like a terrible sci-fi movie in like the last movie of her career or life, really, and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder.
And Nate looked into it and he was like, yeah, he'd had like a bunch of flops right up until this.
Not me and my flop era.
He was in his flop era. Yeah, and I think that happened to a lot of those movie stars, you know, who were like huge leading men in the 50s and 60s. And then people get tired of you, you know?
Yeah.
But you still need to work.
And like we were talking about that, right? About like how Ryan Murphy's American Horror Story became a halfway home for character actress women in their 50s.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Kathy Bates, you having trouble out there? Come on in.
This is probably like a huge thing of like the path to eventually just being in horror movies, which like people like and are excited to see you in. I think action movies are this for a lot of our old leading men as well.
Well, yeah, because
they're not Oscar movies anymore, but like, there's something.
I know. They
some
cling on to
it. Some people probably look down on it, you know?
I think some of them find safe haven. Like, the only sequels Denzel's made is The Equalizer.
Yeah.
One,
like
two,
the
and
Expendables
three.
19 or whatever they're doing now. Yeah.
I think they did.
So yeah. Horror will welcome you also.
I think Tom Cruise is scared to make anything that's not an action movie now. And he made almost the borderline horror movie with The Mummy, and it did very poorly.
That's right.
The Dark Universe was not launched, unfortunately. We've talked about that,
Dark
right?
Universe. Yeah, yeah,
it was supposed to be like, this is the first one of like
Invisible
five.
Man.
Yeah, and Javier Bardem's going to be Frankenstein.
Yeah, so getting Gregory Peck, I was like, this was probably not supposed to be this successful, I'm guessing. And so getting him, they maybe got him on like a good price.
I wonder.
But thank God they did, because he's exceptional. I mean, he's Gregory Peck.
And he was talking about like, oh, I saw it as a psychological drama more than anything. You know,
because
that's the, you know, it's not
actor-y
like, yeah, thing. I wanted to do a trashy movie.
Yeah,
I couldn't my career's bad
to see
right
this guy's head sliced off. Wasn't there something too about like, it was, he brought in something of his personal life too, because his son had passed away.
Oh.
And I think it was kind of a way for him to kind of work through that too.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine, yeah, That's plausible.
Gregory Peck, by the way, I don't know if there's other stories that are terrible, but according to his Wikipedia page, which I did read, his politics were great, like even back then.
Really?
He was a Catholic, but he was all for women being ordained. A whole slate of women's rights were really important to him. He was awesome. He was like a good dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gregory
Peck?
Which
is like shocking for that era, I have to say. He went up against like the House of Un-American Activities Committee.
Really?
Yeah.
Some people.
He was on Nixon's like enemies list.
That is a badge of honor.
Gregory Peck. Oh, yeah. And he like marched with Martin Luther King Jr. He was a cool guy.
The exception to the rule of like if you were born before 1950.
Well, it also just goes to show like, okay, so you all could have made this choice.
Yes.
To be a good person.
All of them. I know. Yeah.
Exactly. Like it wasn't just your context.
Yes. Although that was a lot of it, that there was always free will. Like the one God gives us so we can go to heaven or hell.
And that's what this movie is really about.
How did this make you feel about, because to me, the other way that the metaphor works too is like, it's about being afraid of having kids one day or feeling unprepared for parenthood generally. It also felt like it was tapping into the thing I experience more often, which is, man, kids are so annoying. I wonder if there's more going on behind them being annoying.
Yeah.
Because they use the kid. They use Damien. Almost like the shark in Jaws. The movie's all about him. He's on screen for like 20 minutes of it probably or less. He doesn't have that many lines. He's got a look at the end. He Jim Halpert's out to the camera next to the president at
right.
the end.
Right.
But for you, like, what did it tap into watching it? Like, what did it feel analogous to or adjacent to?
Oh, man. I don't know. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of that fear. I mean, things would have to go so sideways to end up with the Antichrist as my child. I wonder if people were also thinking about this, you know, post the horrors of World War II, and also the 70s were kind of the rise of like the serial killer story, and people wondering, you know, how does someone end up like this? Like, how do they end up so psychotic, so evil, so detached? Is it just nature or nurture, you know? And so I could see that also being part of the anxieties of the time to have a movie like this. Was the Antichrist also like a thing before this kind of movie and Left Behind?
No.
Like this concept of the Antichrist didn't really exist in the modern consciousness, right?
No. Premillennial dispensationalism is the thing that get like that theological strain is what gives rise to all of this. This is why people,
yeah.
like I don't, like that little kid's like the Antichrist or something. Like that, I don't, in our older listeners or our more knowledgeable listeners can correct me, but that did not exist in the public consciousness
yeah.
in the same way. Even though the word Antichrist you can find in scripture, but
right.
it meant Antichrist, like against
it wasn't,
Christ.
Yeah, it wasn't like there'll be like, a blonde man coming out
shitty.
Of the UN.
Or yeah, there's going to be some progressive guy that wants to stop nuclear war.
Yeah, the concept is so crazy and it does feel very new and very American
mm-hmm.
to have that kind of anxiety about this like, being that will come as a child the way Jesus did, you know?
Yeah, which is why unintentionally, I feel like this out of all the movies that we're going to talk about this month might be the most in our strike zone of what we've talked about on the show before because it was totally 100% informed by American Protestant politics and evangelical culture.
Right.
Whereas the other stuff will probably more likely be inflected by scriptural Catholic tradition and hierarchies and, you know, doxology and orthodoxy like that. But this is more like a guy doing some jazz in a book in the 70s yeah. being like, maybe the Antichrist is a kid.
And, right. And now it's like literally what people think it'll be like mm-hmm. because of this movie.
What's the quote?
With the baboon attack.
It is so, yeah.
With the long giraffe scene.
Yeah, let's catalog all of the attributes of what the Antichrist will bring. He loves playing pool. He loves scaring the shit out of animals at the zoo.
Tricycle, circles.
He will engender a fierce loyalty in his caretakers.
Here's where he and I overlap. Hates church.
I knew.
Going to church.
As soon as that scene happened in the movie, I was like, my guy. Literally me. That's your Letterboxd review. Like, Damien screaming to not go to church. Okay, me?
Relate.
That is absolutely it. Nonverbal.
Yeah, nonverbal.
Doesn't love talking.
I thought it was really interesting how normal animals were used to be really scary.
Like little dogs?
Little dogs. Well, not little dogs, big dogs.
Yeah.
What are those, Rottweilers?
I don't know. I only know my guy.
Which is?
I want to say...
dog?
Brown dog with a little white.
Brownish small dog?
What kind of dog do you have? Brown. Idiot.
Next question. What kind of dog do you have? The kind that licks its dick?
Little brown dick licker. It's on the Wikipedia. The Lickopedia.
Dexter wrote Wikipedia.
That is so funny.
Okay, yeah. So we have like the animal connection is huge with the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
They have a dog that will like show up, protect them. They freak out giraffes. They freak out baboons. Giraffes run away. Baboons run toward you to get your ass.
Yeah. Well, they love ass. They love showing their ass all the time. That's kind of one of their big things, yeah.
Goldfish were around, but they seemed to just be sort of bystanders.
They were chilling, yeah.
Were there birds?
I don't remember any birds.
Okay. I just thought it was interesting that, like, animals were part of the monsters of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you haven't seen a normal animal be scary like this in a long time, you know? Because it's kind of funny.
Well, too, in the 70s, when it's not just like, we'll make the dog frown with CGI. And they do just have to like get, they have to make the animals behave in literal, like the baboon attack was very real. Like I was like,
yeah.
They got those monkeys all freaking out for real.
Yeah, I was like, this movie. This is unsafe for the monkeys. She mm-hmm. was plowing through them with that car. It's like, oh my God.
So the plot is the kid's born, Gregory Peck's like, okay, let's switch him out.
There's a priest at the hospital that convinces him, just take this baby. Baby died.
He's fine.
He was also literally born today.
Yeah.
Your wife will never know.
She's stupid.
Don't ever tell her.
The baby's Hispanic or something. <They're> like,
what could go wrong? And also, wouldn't it be worse if she knew her baby died than just take this stranger's baby?
So Gregory Peck's like, sounds good. And they
Gregory
take
Peck's
him home.
Also 97 years old.
He is so old looking so in this movie.
Old. I didn't think about it until he held the infant. And I was like, wait a second. This man, ancient.
He's
Robert De Niro hero.
He is 61 when this movie comes out.
Yeah.
Because he was born in 1916.
Must be good to be a man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tom Cruise's age now. Or he's 60, I guess. But yes, and to answer your question, yes, it is good to be a man. See, I told you this would happen if I sat in this chair. And
yes.
Thank you for noticing.
Your armchair effect. I don't like it.
So then things start going a little wacky. There's the children's birthday party and maybe the scariest scene of the movie.
It is the scariest.
A nanny hangs herself in front of a bunch of kids.
They're at the kids' party. You hear the nanny out of frame, Damien, over here, sweetie. Come mm-hmm. here. Look. I love you. I love you. And she's standing on the fucking roof of the house and says, I'm doing this for you. Locks eyes with the child. Jumps.
That was very unsettling.
Oh, my God.
I was very unnerved by it. I was shocked.
It was horrifying. It. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like early on in the movie. I was like, they're not messing around.
It's hard to be scary in broad daylight, mm-hmm. as Midsommar taught us all. So. Yeah. So then the parents are thinking, well, that was bad, but...
Probably just a crazy single woman.
New lady shows up, Mrs. Baylock. That's her name.
Scary bangs.
Very scary, scary eyes. She's like, I'm here to protect the child. The agency sent me.
Right.
And Gregory Peck was like, UTACAAWME.
Ford.
Which one? Ford. And she's like, nah, check my references. It's fine. Who knows if they checked them?
Obviously, they didn't.
And then she's protecting the child throughout the whole movie.
The other part of it that they kind of allude to later is that this mother is kind of like detached from the actual raising of her child. Like the way she'll like toss him to somebody or at the kid's party, snatching him from the nanny when the photographer is around because mm-hmm. she wanna looks like she's a close mom. Yeah, not checking the nanny's references at all and just kind of be like, yeah, you can watch him. I don't care. And kind of, it seems like they had, or she had this kid more for appearances.
Well, that's the other crucial part of it, too.
Paying attention to him.
It's an American couple living in, is it Britain?
London.
Because the political part of this is salient because of the premillennial dispensationalist theology that the Antichrist will rise to power through politics, which they talk about in the movie.
Right.
They make explicit text. They also do a little jazz on the Bible. There's a poem that's not in it.
Yeah.
Which is like, when the Jews return to Zion.
And all will be saying that every time. Like, and I was like, ooh, don't love the way you guys keep saying
it. Comet rips the earth, rips the sky, and the Holy Roman Empire rises, which I never think about, by the way. Then you and I must die from the eternal sea. He rises, creating armies on either shore, turning man against brother till man exists no more. That's not in the Bible, but I do wonder if that's one of those things culturally that people saw. It's like, yeah, Antichrist stuff like in The Omen. And it's just one of those things that like I'm stupid with history. And when I see something depicted,
you're like, why would they not research it?
Yeah. Like that just becomes people's reality of the thing rather than the actual thing.
Like the verse that what's his name says in Pulp Fiction.
Ezekiel 25:17.
Right.
The path of the righteous is beset on all sides. Yeah, doing jazz on the Bible.
Not quite right. But, oh, or is that passage from the Catholic Bible?
The Apocrypha? No, the screenwriter said I made that up.
Okay.
He did say it in an interview. He was like, yeah, that was me riffing.
The Jews storming Zion? That's all me.
He said, much like Hasan Minhaj, I thought I got the emotional truth of the Bible.
That's what matters.
It's not important what was or wasn't actually
in
there.
And it was just a joke.
And also, I'm a storyteller, and of course, things are exaggerated. So, I'm wondering, as we watch these movies this month, if we're going to see like little hallmarks and touchstones of what makes like a religious horror, or like a supernatural horror movie. One of which is like someone who doesn't believe has to believe by the end of it.
Yeah,
a priest shows up to Gregory Peck's office. He's like, "Dude, you got to convert to Christianity. So you'll be saved." And he's tweaking out, right? Like,
When he doesn't just say you need to become a Christian, he's like, drink Christ's blood, eat his flesh every day. Like, take communion, but he says it that way, which I'm like, they don't say that way anymore. They're kind of veiling the fact that we're doing the cannibal thing during communion. Mm-hmm. They need to bring it back. Be honest about it.
I mean, I think a lot of that language is used in some denominations. But for the non-denoms, we're not doing that. Like eating the Army Hammer style. I wonder how he's doing right now.
Well, speaking of tweaking, the priest is tweaking.
Yeah, he's tweaking out. And Gregory Peck's like, leave my office. But there's something that's getting at him. All the while, too, there's this photographer journalist played by, what's the actor's name? Most people would know him. His name is David Warner. You might recognize him mostly as the guy with the gun in Titanic who's chasing after Leo.
Yeah, the butler.
Yeah, Lovejoy.
The butler's security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's got one of those faces that stayed the same. And he's photographing stuff and seeing weird things in it and kind of prophesies each person's death, a weird thing that's in a frame of each picture, which made me want to go back to some of my iPhotos and see like... Can I see how I'm gonna die with all my selfies?
You look at your photos. There's just the shadow of a little propeller hat on your head.
Man, I guess I'm gonna die by propeller, or God thinks I'm a loser.
Like a dunce hat.
Anyway, it kind of becomes like an investigation where they're the partners. Mom's out of commission. She gets knocked down the stairs.
Mom is on a full body cast. Oh, yeah. She, like, gets thrown off the second floor of the house.
Mm-hmm.
on his tricycle because she was up on a box, like getting some out of the plants.
Yeah, because
straight up on her chest. I'm like, this woman's dead.
I will say the way that they shot it was very
slow.
I thought it was effective. You didn't like it?
No. I mean, I was like, okay. It was like, real slow.
Let's go. Yeah.
Oh. I feel like it would have been more horrifying to just show it in normal speed.
Mm.
A woman hitting the floor.
They should have killed a woman for this movie.
Kill her.
And so, yeah, she's out of commission, full body cast. And then it sort of becomes a fetch quest of like the priest who then gets impaled with a rod.
Right.
That falls from a church. He's like, go to Megiddo and talk to this guy. Then they talk to the guy and he's like, he scribbles out, go to this graveyard. They go to the graveyard and the mother is a dog. The mother is a dragon. There's a skeleton in the tomb.
Okay.
Of the mom. Of some sort of creature.
This, I was confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
But now this makes sense. So the mother, the previous priest said something about like, I was there, the mother.
Oh, a jackal. Jackal carcass.
It's a jackal. Yeah. So,
because he was about to say, it's a and then, yeah, so I guess it's a jackal.
Got it. I was going to say Jezebel.
It's a Jezebel, some sort of harlot.
So we're led to believe that this satanic group sacrificed Gregory Peck's real kid.
Because there's a hole in his skull, which is very upsetting looking.
Very upsetting, because we see a little baby skeleton. Mm-hmm. Birthed the Antichrist through a jackal in some sort of unholy ceremony or something. They leave it pretty vague, which I'm kind of glad they did, because like the mechanics of that sounds really stupid, honestly.
How did that go? Well, let me tell you. The jackal's getting drunk at the bar.
It's like more. A stick figure.
Why are you going into this grade of detail?
Yes. That's how, so then they go into the graveyard, they find that, and then they're like going back to the hospital to find something else. And that's when the journalist photographer's head gets sloicy.
He gets Marie Antoinette'd
by a piece of glass.
Mm-hmm. Then mom dies because mom gets tossed out the window by caretaker woman, right. Mrs. Baylock.
She has to fall again.
Yeah. I mean, they did in the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray. There's a line she has where she says, here we go again.
Yeah, there are actually two or three more falls they were going to do with her.
That was supposed to be fall number five.
She survived most of them.
She's like, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious? So then Gregory Peck's like, I gotta kill my son.
Yeah, now he has a clear directive, because mostly he was just trying to find out, like, where is this kid from? Because he is starting to put it together and become a believer that, like, something is really wrong with this child. Mm-hmm. And mostly because everyone around me is dying. And it feels like it doesn't really go home until his wife dies, which makes sense.
Yes.
Because up until that point, it's like, this is still his son, you know, that he's taking care of. And it's a little kid, and he's pretty cute most of the time.
You thought so?
Yeah.
I thought he had the look of some of those kids in the 70s where it's like, you're already 45.
Well, that's because he's wearing a little leisure suit at the zoo.
Yeah, I guess when he's in his velvet robe, I'm not like, what a child he is.
Can we talk about the costuming on it for a second? Because I thought the style was so good.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was like distractingly good, I thought.
And that was a very pretty movie to watch.
Very pretty.
They have it on 4K. We had to rent it. Sorry. but it's on 4K wherever you buy it. And it was beautiful to look at. And I thought the score was really excellent too.
Yeah.
I'd say the score aged very well. The Jerry Goldsmith score. Chanting Latin and shit.
Well, it has to do a lot of heavy lifting, because a lot of the scariness about the kid is him just staring at something for a mm-hmm. long time. And I think if you'd had that without music, it would have been silly and hard to be scared about.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear the like chanting and like choir, then you're like, oh no.
Yeah, because the kid doesn't really do any acts of violence himself, other than he claws at his mom when she tries. And which you defend when he's like, trying to get him to go to church.
Yeah. that was like your average grocery store tantrum.
But what's funny, it's not even for church. It's for a wedding. Oh, yeah, they were going to a wedding.
It's just the building.
No! And then he knocks her off with the trike. But then otherwise, it's not like he's out here sawing the heads off of pigeons or anything.
Right. The only thing I guess is kind of his fault is the nanny killing herself at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I was confused why he didn't do more of that, of kind of like messing with people's minds the way he could. And I was confused why the team devil, let Gregory Peck live for so long. And I guess because they thought he's so dumb and he's so non-spiritual that he won't notice what's going on with this kid and he'll just keep him alive for us for a long time.
Yeah, like right? what the end game was by letting him go 5 years or however long.
Yeah, like you would think they would try to keep his wife alive so he wouldn't go full crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted the kid to be like in this cocoon, you know, incubating in this house as yeah. long as they could. But then they were like, man, let's just kill the wife. Get her out of the picture.
So then Peck leaves with the kid, goes to the church, and then is about to step because there's all these rules and stuff.
There's always got
to
be a rule.
There's a bunch of rules. He shaves his head to see if you see the mark. He sees the mark. He's like, I guess it's for real. Goes to the church, tries to kill him. And then once you know it, oinky oinky, the cops show up and they do shoot
Ruin
him.
Everything.
I was like, I did not expect this movie to end with the cops shooting Atticus Finch, gunned down in his prime. And then the next scene is the funeral for both of them. And then Secret Service, whoever's like, are you ready to go, Mr. President? And the president's holding the hand of Damien. He turns to the camera. He's like, I'll see you next time. that end shot was good. I liked that. I thought it was silly and funny.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I think one of the priests or one of the guys that explained things to Gregory Peck says, it was like a monk at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for every holy thing, there is an unholy thing. And that is the essence of temptation. What do you think about that? I thought that was like
fair.
I guess. I thought that was interesting. And I guess that's like, if you're going to try to look for maybe a theme with the movie too, and I don't know how hard they were trying to like send that message home, but the idea that for every choice you have in your life, there is like the opposite and the worst choice. And the temptation is between those two, you know, and that there's like, a perfect one for one. You know, for Jesus, there is this Antichrist son.
Mm-hmm.
For saving your wife, there is like killing your son.
Yeah.
You know, for like protecting all the orphans that were at your hospital, there's that, or there's like getting firebombed in order to like bring the Antichrist into the world.
That's a really salient point. And you do wonder if that's inherent to the morality of the movie too. And that so many movies, I feel like, I wonder if this is because I don't know horror that well. It's not something that I could tell you, oh yeah, this guy was this in the space and then this woman did this. But what does seem to be true of a lot of horror movies is the idea of consequences, punishment, me sowing, me reaping, essentially. Where it's like, oh, if the kids have sex in the movie, then yeah. they're going to get offed or, you know.
And they deserve it.
Yeah. And who deserves what? You know, people talk about movies a lot that way. About horror movies, it's like, is it does the punishment fit whatever the sin is of the protagonist? And with this one, it's a man lying and choosing a deception with his wife about one of the most important relationships. I'm getting a little distracted because Lil D has his eyes rolled back in his head. That he does look a little possessed right now.
I'm telling you.
Oh, no.
Find out what breed this is.
Little brown liquor. We found out.
Wait, there's a birthmark right next to his dick.
Oh, no.
It says 6'9".
It says 6'9", 420, Blaze.
Jackals for life.
But that sort of deception, that original lie and sin about like that family not actually being the birth blood biological family, if that was like... If everything that was after that, because now the world's going to get punished because this little kid's going to be, you know, a little Barron Trump growing up in the White House.
But also, like, he thought he was really doing the best thing possible mm-hmm. for his wife. And I feel like if you were in that exact situation.
And there was a bunch of priests being like, no, it's cool.
Come on, man. Yeah,
don't be a pussy. Switch the babies.
Okay, no balls over here. But you're like, you were just devastatingly grieving. Like, this is the worst loss you could ever have in your life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. you've made it all the way, and then they die there. You know, trigger warning for this, by the way. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And then someone offers you an option that looks like a perfectly healthy baby, and you're the dad, and you're like, I can be a martyr. Like, I can grieve my actual dead child by myself for the rest of my life, save my wife this pain, and have a family all in one day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do it?
I would not after seeing this movie.
Like, even though that's the right choice.
It's definitely not, don't go in that room. Don't go in the basement. It's not one of those decisions.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is so stupid. Like, the right. emotional reality of it makes so much sense. And honestly, especially the cosign of all the people.
A priest.
Yes.
Telling you, like, come on.
It's cool.
Do the right thing.
So it's understandable.
Mm-hmm. But that's the, like, equal and opposite of, like, the good thing he could have done and the totally mm-hmm. evil thing he kind of did that also seemed like the best thing he could have done.
That's why I'm like, I'm so opposed to just, like, Antichrist theology in general. I'm anti-Antichrist. He's anti-Antichrist.
Well, it's like, I've been thinking about this a lot with hero stories and things like that, and the very anti-community and very, like, patriarchal male ideal it is that one person can ruin the entire world
mm-hmm.
or one person can save the entire world right. or even just a big scale like that. It's actually impossible
mm-hmm.
in real life. Mm-hmm. There has been no hero in our history books that didn't do it without so many people helping them or a wife at home actually taking care of their family while they went and did whatever they did, you know? And same thing with evil people. Like, it took a ton of people to enable and execute that thing. And that's why I have an issue with an Antichrist, too. I'm like, you need a fuck ton of enabling people and, like, a lot of teamwork.
It takes an Antichrist village.
It does. It does. But what's your reason for being anti-Antichrist?
It feels like such a simplistic, almost like Joseph Campbellian vision of balance and hero's journey where it's like, well, for every equal, and I think it feels like life is a little more chaotic and nuanced than like, well, if there's this kind of thing over here on this spectrum, there's going to be this thing over here on the spectrum.
Right.
So even if you took the story of Christ at face value as like history, it doesn't feel rational to believe. And then there's going to be an Antichrist. Like,
yeah.
It feels like child's logic.
It is. Yeah. It's like, why does this actually necessitate there being the opposite version of this? Because mm-hmm. like, because balance? It's like, what? No.
Yeah. And then even in Christian theology, like, you just start getting people who would even believe in it. It's like, well, the Antichrist isn't that powerful because God's more powerful. So it's like, so it's not the opposite.
Yeah,
you
now
know?
We're doing Avengers of like, okay, so it goes Captain Marvel. She's more powerful. But then sometimes the Hulk can be more powerful even than her, you know? And it's like, what are we doing, you know? Yeah.
Check out Harrison Ford as the Red Hulk in the new Marvel.
I also feel like even the devil, it's like, well, then the devil is basically nothing. Mm-hmm. Compared to what the Antichrist can do.
Right.
You know?
Did you know?
So what's the point of all that?
By the way, I didn't know this until today because I was looking into stuff for this month. De Niro has also played Satan. It's not just Pacino and the Devil's Advocate. De Niro played Satan in a movie called Angel Heart.
Oh.
In which a guy named like literally John Angel is investigating a case. It's Robert De Niro and Mickey Rourke is
Yikes.
Like John Angel. I know it feels dark, but
like
it is
Scrooge,
streaming.
Everybody gets a turn to play him, play the devil.
The devil. Yeah. I know. What's your favorite depiction of the devil that you've seen?
Mm. Well, I haven't seen Monkey Bone yet.
Is the devil in Monkey Bone?
Wait, no. What's that other Brendan Fraser movie where there's the devil? It's like Bedazzled or something.
Oh, that's right. Elizabeth Hurley.
I haven't seen Bedazzled yet.
Yes.
But that might be it.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right, movie. I haven't Bedazzled. Oh, Elizabeth Hurley is
be fun. Do you have a favorite devil?
I mean, I love Pacino in Devil's Advocate, unfortunately. I like Tim Curry in Legend. Did you ever see that movie?
Nah.
The fantasy movie.
Okay.
With Tom Cruise and the wife.
It sounds like you're making this up. Actually, I do have a favorite devil.
Who's that?
Portrayal in the movie musical, Damn Yankees, original one. Have you seen that?
No.
There's a guy that plays the devil, and it's really fun.
Okay. Elizabeth, I'm looking up. Peter Stormare and Constantine, that Keanu Reeves movie. Elizabeth Hurley and Bedazzled. Pacino and Devil's Advocate. Tim Curry in Legend, which is a real, not made up movie. Peter Fonda and Ghost Rider. Oh, boy.
You should be the devil for Halloween this year. You've already got the shoes.
Okay. Jack Nicholson in Witches of Eastwick. Why did I not think of that immediately? I think it's Jack Nicholson getting this party started. Man, if you got scared by a pop-up ad. All right.
I know.
Anything else we need to talk about before we rate this episode? And
let me consult my notes.
Send it somewhere. Maybe good, maybe bad.
Nope.
Maybe a little reverse this year. This month, let's do it then. The way it works is we're going to give it a holy toast or holy roast. Holy toast is we send it to heaven. Heaven-bound.
Ooh.
Whoa. That sounds like it might be bad for it to go to heaven. Holy roast, we send it to hell. That sounds pretty good.
It's actually kind of fun.
Maybe this month. Going to hell is the good one.
It's already confusing enough.
No, I don't think so.
Holy ghost.
Ghost. Roast. Holy boast. We brag about how we got through the movie without closing our eyes or calling our husband into
the room. Holy joast. We talk about our favorite weekend update.
Colin joast. Holy joast. I promise you, we will never have a holy joast segment on the show. Oh, God. Or purgatory, which is... Ooh, God. The space between... I told you I'm too relaxed on this chair.
You're off your game in that chair.
See?
Mere seconds are flying by.
Sorry, Emma.
It's fine.
Damn. All right, we'll start with you.
I'm going to give it a holy toast. Sad to see Gregory Peck go to heaven in this movie.
Wait, holy toast is in it's bad?
Holy toast is in it's good. Okay. Let me flip that and reverse it.
Okay.
Holy roast.
Yeah.
Matt, it's going to the good place this month,
yeah,
which is hell.
Hey. We got room for one more down here.
Garmin, you stay in that hot tub solo.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely
Dip
not.
Dip your little toes in.
Okay, you do make it sound fun.
The water's fine.
Do you have any beverages?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Aperol spritz. I can make an espresso martini. Yeah, just like regular stuff. Obviously,
you have a full bar.
We have Fireball.
Sucky Bobs.
Satan, make my drink.
Satan pisses into a glass. But it's like a perfect martini.
And that's Satan.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
This was enjoyable. I thought it was fun to watch, even though it did cause my midnight meeting to be a little scarier than usual.
Your midnight ass.
But
you know, if you wake up in the middle of the night and have sex with your sweetie, I guess that's called midnight ass.
Nice. All right, Jerry.
If you have sex. No, he doesn't talk about sex that much.
No.
Which I'm not jonesing for him to.
We got to reboot Seinfeld, this time with sex.
And black people?
Nah.
We'll get next time. next reboot.
I will also give it a holy roast.
Because it's good.
Yeah,
because
I liked it and it's good. I love the Jerry Goldsmith theme. here's fun context too. When it came out, people were very mixed on it.
Oh.
Very mixed. Critically, it wasn't like Exorcist. It was a lot of people, Roger Ebert, were like, kind of silly. Not really my thing. And then with the years passing, that's when it's, you know, received more acclaimed status with retrospect. There's been many movies. There's been a remake. I remember my sister in high school watching the remake from 2000, whatever it was, and walking in the room. And there are images from that movie that I still remember. That were like...
That were scary.
Yeah. That were scary. That kind of freaked me out. But it launched a franchise, including a TV show I'm about to describe that sounds like it's made up, that was on A&E, and it was called Damien, and it was a direct sequel 30 years later with Damien, who he forgot his demonic past, and he had to face it with his caretaker, played by Barbara Hershey. So it was just like Bates Motel or one of those on cable, where it's like, all right, Damien, keep being Satan.
Antichrist. And he's like, what? I work at Dairy Queen.
Actually, wait, this show kind
of hilarity ensues. Good.
Barbara Hershey, Glenn Miseria. Yeah, this sounds not good. Yeah, but holy roast. I like this movie too. I was not, and maybe we should say how scared we were or not by it. I was not that freaked out by it, except for the first little death.
Yeah.
The nanny death.
I agree. I think the nanny death was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the dog stalking him in the house toward the end.
Scared you?
Scared me a little bit. But yeah, I think I was like, let's make a rating system for how scared we were.
How many boos?
How?
Yeah, like
how many gallons of piss were in your pants?
My God. Okay. One.
5 gallons is really scary.
It goes 0 to 5, or is it 1 to 5 and you have at least one?
Yeah. Well, let's face it. There's always going to be one.
Yeah. Because always a little bit leaks out, and we can be adults and acknowledge that. We know. Like, it's just like lips.
That's why they put diapers in the Halloween section at CVS. You got to be prepared.
Okay. I think. Based on that, and it's not 0 to 5. It's 1 to 5.
You can't do 0.
Okay. I would say 2. I had 2.5 gallons of piss.
Wow. Really?
Well, yeah. Based on this system.
I love this system. I'd say I only had like 1.5.
Okay.
Amy and I were watching it together, and I only noticed a couple times that I was like digging my hand into his arm.
Which was it? What part?
I think it was
graveyard.
Yeah, graveyard, and then maybe when because I know, you know, the journalist is going to get sliced at some point, mm-hmm. and so I felt like anytime he was like doing something on his own in the frame, I was like, here we go.
Okay.
I feel like that also maybe launched Final Destination. Movies. Is that what it is? Final Destiny?
An avid fan of the genre, once again.
Final Fantasy?
Final, yeah. The one where they die?
Yeah, where like they're all destined to die and you just have to like wait for it to happen.
Yeah,
the
Final Destination. John Calvin's favorite franchise.
Who's John? Oh. It's like, who's John Calvin? I've been out of the game a long time. I'm familiar with him.
Vanessa Hudgens, famous concept. Calvinist. Yeah.
Are you
familiar with? Yeah. Okay. You are. Okay. Good, good, good.
But that was, I thought that was kind of a fun part of the whole Omen movie, too. Was like, this guy know is going to die. Yeah. And in like a psychotic way.
I do wonder. There's been so many others. I wonder, there's Damien, Omen 2, Omen 3, The Final Conflict, Omen 4, The Awakening. Just
Omen
kidding.
Omen goes to jail.
Omen.
Omen scared stupid.
Omen saves Christmas? Wow. Cool.
Air Omen.
Oh. By the way, your husband stars in the remake in 2006. It's Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles as the couple. And Mia Farrow's Mrs. Baylock. I bet she was scary.
Oh, I bet.
Ugh. Anyway, all right. Well, I've soiled myself with 2.5 gallons of piss.
A mere 2.5.
We're going to have to look guests in the eyes and say...
And explain.
On a scale of 1 to 5 gallons of piss? This thing that we may never have said without the shame of another adult human in the room.
Stranger. I think they'll be down.
All right. Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down. We're dimming the lights in here.
You can leave them up.
I didn't... Huh?
It's just us here, Kevin. Okay? I don't like this.
I know you like
okay,
it.
Okay, we're at 4 gallons.
I did make all the lights in the room red.
You're definitely going to need to donate the only, this couch.
The, the only thing that's lit is Elmo conducting a seance.
So scary.
Elmo wants to raise you from the dead.
Elmo blends into this light.
Oh, no. There's a moth above him. Ew. That is kind of scary looking. Okay. We don't promote ourselves or plug our projects. We lift them up, including what we're enjoying in secular culture. Caroline, what you got?
I got Caroline's farts. Yet again, week in, week out, I'm there working.
In the working fart
like
factory?
Like in the fart factory. My Instagram has been like flopping lately.
How do you mean?
I think I'm doing too much. I think I used to just really like do a drop, you know, once a year.
Yeah, you've been gallining it up.
Gallining it up. So, I don't know. Be aware of that. And then...
Be aware that your Instagram is a flop?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's on me. That's on me. I think I'm
aware.
I got greedy. And my lift up is season 3 of the Apple TV show Physical.
I thought you were going to say the morning show.
I might start that. Physical is so good.
That's Rose Byrne and Zoe Deschanel.
Rose Byrne is incredible. Zoe was such a weird casting for the part she plays, but she's good. And then Rory Scovel is the dumb dad. He's perfect.
I saw him at Into the Woods. He was there the night we went with his family, but I didn't want to bug him. I think he's so freaking funny.
He is funny. He's really good in the show, too. You'd like it.
I feel like I haven't seen him play like a romantic lead since that one... Amy Schumer
movie. I
wouldn't
say he's romantic.
He's not? Is he like a predator or something?
No, he's just like a dick.
Okay.
Great. It's just a really good show, and I like where they're taking it.
All right. Physical on Apple TV. Wait, did you get your own Apple TV Plus?
You always ask this every time I bring up Apple. Because
really?
You're like, how dare she
I
not be under my
over
domain.
You?
I got my own ways.
All right. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. What? Eeny, meeny, miny, may. What will I lift up today? I guess I will lift up a movie I watched recently called The Game with Michael Douglas.
I love that movie.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
That was one of the first rated R movies I saw.
That's the one where he's like thrown into
a game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By his tweaky brother, Sean Penn.
That movie's awesome.
I thought it would not hold up upon rewatch because I haven't seen it in 20 years or so. Held up phenomenally.
Still good. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I have like images burning my brain from that movie. The first time hearing White Rabbit, that song.
Oh, yeah.
Also
come to dominate our lives.
It's a birthday party. It's a birthday gift in the movie, rather the game. And his birthday's October 11th in the movie. Isn't that funny? Same birthday as Mark Driscoll. And I thought that was a fun fact.
That could be a theme for your birthday this year. The game, Kevin.
Oh God. I hope it ends the same way, but there's no pad there.
We're like, what are you talking about? We were going to Chili's.
I'm like, I get it, guys. It's a game. Wee! I was like, no! You can lift me up. All right, at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. At Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Email us at goodchristianfun@gmail.com and subscribe at patreon.com/goodchristianfun. We're going to be doing perhaps some movie heavens this month. Perhaps some heaven is for reals. Ooh. This month. Maybe that's a way to get you to watch a movie.
That would help so much.
If we're doing live commentary over it.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just rewatch Devil's Advocate.
Could be our new tradition.
I mean, it's got Keanu and Al. I don't know.
So fun.
You're getting warm now, Kevin.
I'm peeking,
Kevin. That's him asking me to turn down his level on the Zoom. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. All right. Now, remember our new movie Hell Month, the Hellmouth Hell Month. Remember the prayer at the end.
Okay.
There's nothing left to say except for,
okay. I love you, Emma. Amen.
Now watch this die.
Oh, you almost forgot to do it.
I did. I started making the A sound.
You did.
Like a loser. And in honor of our fallen angel, who's maybe bubbling away in a hot tub right now down below. Let's go out with this very creepy song. Nothing says Hell Month like this song. Lord, I Lift Your Name on High by Carmen.
Lord.
Does he sound like he's on a cruise?
You can hear the smile.
I'm so glad you're in my life. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My dad. That was a HeadGum Podcast.